Today on Rockin' the Suburb, we're going to talk Bruce, bourbon, and podcasting.
And I only know about one of them.
Hello everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Rockin' the Suburbs. That's right, Jim and Patrick are still on vacation. I am your host, Jesse Jackson. You may know me from Set Lusting Bruce or Next Stop Everywhere. But today, I am Jesse the Husband Jackson because I am honored that my guest today is the love of my life. The lady that I'm so happy she was the one, Linda Jackson. Hey, Linda.
Hi, guys. How are everything?
Good. Linda is a good sport. And I said, hey, I need someone to join me on the podcast. And her first reaction was, really? There's no one else? Would you not say that was your reaction?
Yes, it was. My very first reaction.
But because she loves me, and when you've been married for as many years as we have, you put up with each other's crap. Sometimes more than often, correct?
Absolutely.
Good. All right, let's start out with a topic you do like. We recently went on vacation, didn't we?
We did. We went to Bourbon Country.
How many trips has this been to Kentucky for us?
Four.
Uh-huh. Do you remember what got us wanting to go to Kentucky?
Because of the Bourbon and Bruce tour?
I believe you are correct. We've done the Kentucky Bourbon Trail, correct?
Four times.
Yes. For those of you who don't know, bourbon is the official spirit of the United States. There are many rules in bourbon. One of them is that it has to be made in the United States.
It has to be made in the United States. It has to have be 51% corn. It has to be aged in an American oak charred barrel.
And then, of course, I never remember the proof. You know, there's rules about the proof you can come off the still and the proof it goes in the barrel. I never remember those numbers.
I don't either.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We originally were going to go to Kentucky because you and I were looking to take a vacation together.
Right.
It had been a while since we had gone on a vacation without the boy, without another couple.
Like 20 years.
Yeah. And so you're like, I want to hang with you, which of course is surprising, but I'm very happy to hear.
Well, same to you, buddy.
We decided that Bruce Springsteen was doing the Wrecking Ball Tour. He wasn't coming anywhere close to Texas, so I said, why don't we drive to Kentucky, do the Kentucky Bourbon Trail, then go up to Cleveland, see him there, do the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, see our friend Tom, then come back, finish the Kentucky Bourbon Trail, go home. And your thought was?
That's a lot of stuff.
So you thought, yes, it was a lot of stuff, but you sounded good, right?
Oh yeah, I was very excited about it.
Do you remember what TV show helped you to get excited about bourbon?
Absolutely. Jess is trying to get me to watch this show. You need to watch this show. You need to watch this show. And I'm like, you know, I'll watch it one later on. And then it was justified. So he said, you know, come on, just watch one. If you don't like it, we'll stop it. So I watched one and went, eh. Got the second one and went, okay. Third one, I was like, okay, where's the fourth one? So in Justified, they had bourbon placed because it was in Kentucky. It was all placed in bourbon. We're used to go with Blanton and we're used to go with Elmer T. Lee. All these things that are very difficult are extinct now. And so that's how I learned about bourbon.
You were never a big bourbon fan before we started watching Justified or went to the Kentucky Bourbon Trail, were you?
No, the only thing I really drank was wine.
Yeah.
I didn't drink hard liquor or beer or anything like that.
You started training by, you know, started drinking bourbon, and we just fell in love with Kentucky and the area and the bourbon trail.
There really is bluegrass.
Yeah, there is. For those of you who don't know, the Kentucky Bourbon Trail is a set of bourbon distilleries that are in central Kentucky. you go to the tour, you pay not a lot of money for the tour, and then they give you a tour. They talk about the bourbon process, as Linda mentioned, kind of the rules. What are some of the favorite parts of the tour? In fact, I know there's a specific two parts of the tour that you love.
Yeah, the best smelling places in the world are where they're making mash, which is at the very beginning. They're just getting their stuff fermented and they're just getting ready to start the distillation process. So that's my favorite smell. And then the last, of course, is in the brick room. That is the most wonderful smell in the world because bourbon, it's cold in there and bourbon has been seeping through these barrels. So it's a fabulous place.
Yeah, Linda always just wants to bring a portable chair or a sleeping bag and just like, okay, I'll just spend a couple hours here smelling that bourbon.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with that at all. People would make the joke that the sampling was the favorite part, which is fun, but it really is the smells, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the whole process is different. You can go to 10 different distilleries, and we're talking about the big guys. We're talking about Wild Turkey, Evan Williams, Buffalo Trace, from 1792. Some of those are not on the actual trail, but they're worth stopping for. Woodford Reserve, you know, so it's all the big ones. Each bourbon distillery has its own story. So you think, oh gosh, 10 times, it's going to be boring hearing how bourbon's made every single time. Their history is really different. Their facilities are very different. And the people are very different in each distillery. So it's really, there's never any repetition to it other than the original four rules that I gave you earlier in the podcast.
The one you didn't mention is Maker's Mark.
Yes, which is actually one of my beautiful favorites. This year we'd been a few times, and it's a pretty place anyway. It's a historical marker, the whole couple of acres of it. And we've noticed in the last couple of years that when we go, because bourbon is such a big industry right now, it's they've all redone their facilities. And of course, Maker's Mark was already like my favorite facility. It's just beautiful. And this year, when we came about 2 years ago, they built a new piece. Well, they actually did a lot of stuff, but they built a new piece on campus, and it is where they store the Maker's Mark 46.
Yeah, our tour guide. So Maker's Mark, for those of you who aren't familiar, do really two kinds of bourbon. They do regular Maker's Mark. That's the one that's dipped in red wax. And then they do a 46, which is a different version. And as we were making the tour, what did the lady say? Says, we're about to go
into the Church of Bourbon. And the reason it is they carved out this space out of a limestone, side of a hill that's got limestone, which is what makes the good water. And it was the most amazing place I've ever been in. And that's where they go in and they do their regular makers, and then you go into the 46 room and they change some slats out and put it in another area for a little bit. But it's the most beautiful space. It really could be a church. It really is that pretty.
When you walk in, it's of course cooler because the back wall was the limestone mountain they had cut out. And they had track lighting and highlighting this beautiful limestone wall. And so you're kind of like in a cave. There's mm-hmm. a cave.
A really nice cave. Cooler.
Yeah, and so there's all these stacks of bourbon barrels. So you have that great smell. It is, it's cooler, the lighting, and it really did, but it felt like a church. Mm-hmm. It felt very spiritual and wonderful. It was awesome.
And that is one of the things about bourbon is that it invokes spirit. It for me, it makes me very, very happy. And it's not drinking the bourbon, it's buying it and then saving it for a special occasion and then drinking it. And I only share that with people that I really love. And so bourbon itself is just a very happy thing for me.
If listeners, if you have the chance, go to Amazon or iTunes. There is a documentary called Neat, as in drinking your whiskey neat. That is wonderful explanation of the history of bourbon. It talks about the laws. Bourbon is actually governed by the United States. There is federal laws that you have to follow to be able to call your whiskey bourbon. But one of the people they interviewed for the documentary works at Buffalo Trace.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happened that as we were touring Buffalo Trace, you saw Freddie.
I walked over and I said, "Jess, I think that's Freddie." And so this guy plays a very, very fabulous, he's got a fabulous story about his dad and his brother and that kind of thing. And this, I've watched Need about five or six times, and this particular story that Freddie tells is absolutely the most amazing story ever. And so then a chance to really get to meet Freddie. He was just the same way in person as he is portrayed on this documentary Neat. So if you can see it, you should absolutely do it. And you'll know why I said that it's a documentary and it's a beautiful story.
Absolutely. Any other favorite distilleries you like?
One of my favorite ones is, of course, Buffalo Trace, because that's where all the good stuff comes from. In Buffalo Trace, it's not on the trail, but it's another historical place and the only one of the tours that we visit that was open during Prohibition, and that was you could get a pint per person per week as medicinal purposes, and Buffalo Trace was able to stay open where almost every other distillery around them closed.
So yeah, I love Woodford Reserve. It is a small batch, but it is an absolutely beautiful ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the middle of horse country. It is hard to find.
Yes, we've gotten lost three times.
But every time we go there, we love that tour. A lot of beautiful old buildings that they've restored. We got to go to the Four Roses distillery plant this time that we had never done that before. And we also did something else that we were fired up about, didn't we?
Yes, we have been four times, and people say, every time you go, and people say, "Oh, you got to go to you got to go to where they make the barrels. It's amazing, it's amazing." And of course, I'm always ready to go to the next distillery. And now there are also these smaller distilleries that produce some really good crafted bourbon. And so we decided Monday morning, first thing before we got started on anything else, we would go to Independence Dave, I think. And it was an amazing tour. I mean, these guys they've got groups of three that put barrels together in a minute, per minute, and they get paid by unit.
Yeah, it is amazing to watch them. The lady who did the tour talked about that when she started, she had to do every job in the warehouse, and it took her like 45 minutes to make one barrel, while they do just multiple barrels in an hour. I mean, they just are put it together, and it is truly an art and a science. But it was warm in there, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's not one job that's not really pressurized or like hot as Hades. So those guys get paid very well, as they should.
And the other thing the guide told us is that they take a lot of breaks. They have a lot of fluid. And during the hot, hot summer, they have popsicle breaks. And she said watching those guys line up for their popsicles is like kindergartens trying to get their popsicle. You get between them and their popsicle, you are in trouble.
Absolutely.
Yeah. A couple other things I wanted to talk about. You are often a podcast widow, and I apologize. Talk to me a little bit about, and it's okay, you're not going to hurt my feelings, but if originally you were very confused about this podcasting thing, weren't you?
I did. I actually said, "Why wouldn't anybody care about what you're talking about?" And so that's been a running joke since. But yeah, he does them quite often. And it started when I was training for my Ironman that it didn't bother me at all that he was on the phone every night because I was out training or in bed by 7 o'clock. So it didn't bother me at all. And then when Iron Man was over, I'd be wanting to stay up and watch TV and talk. And he's already started this podcast thing, and he really likes it, and it keeps him sane. And so, you know, I was like, "Well, God, I just got to go to bed. I got to go to bed every night and lay down. I can't watch TV in my own living room." And so I said, "The bed's old and it's uncomfortable." So he bought me a brand new bed. So now I don't whine anymore about him being in the podcast.
My solution was not stop podcasting. It was okay. So what I heard about that statement was you need a better bed. So we did. We went and got a Sleep Number bed.
Mm.
It was funny because For those of you who aren't aware, an Ironman is a long, long race. And to train for it, it took Linda months. And she was training anywhere from 7 to 9 times
in a week.
Days a week?
No, 7 days. There's no day off.
And so she would have to train in the morning. She'd have to train at night. She'd swim. She would bike. She would run. And I would have supper ready.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, I reached the point where I knew what she was going to do the next day. So I'd be, pulling the stuff out of the dryer that she had already washed because, you just have to change clothes so often. So it's hard to have a whole set of a week's worth of workout clothes. So we were washing every day. So I'd have everything pulled for her that I knew what she would need the next day.
Which was great because it got to the point where swimming and running were easy to pack, but he would have my backpack for my regular ride, my bike ride, and it would be just perfect. So yeah, I didn't know where the I didn't know where the washer and dryer were. I didn't know where the sink was. I didn't know where anything was for, it was almost a year. Just complete training.
Yeah, just she'd come home, put her stuff down, and then take a shower and go to bed with supper ready. And by the time she was eating her last bite, within 5 minutes, she was hard asleep. But, it was a goal you always had. And so I was glad to support you and help you through it.
Mm-hmm. You're a big help. Thanks.
Well, that's good. I can't let you go without, let's talk about your relationship with my Bruce obsession / passion.
I do not understand it. That's about all I have.
Well, that's short but succinct. That does make a lot of sense. Heard a little clips and you watched Bruce on the Tony Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And you now...
I wish that I could have gone with them to Bruce on Broadway. He's an amazing storyteller. I can't necessarily understand what he's singing, which makes me mad because I know he's a great storyteller. That whole setup that we saw on the Tonys was really neat. You get to know a lot about him from his speaking, and he's very articulate and very impassioned. And his music was wonderful. I mean, I would have liked to have been able to go. Only one of us could go, so he got the chance. But yeah, it was really nice. When we started our bourbon tour. We drove to Kentucky, and that was a 12-hour trip each direction. And Jess would play everything from Wrecking Ball because that's what they were going to be, doing. I read the words, and before it was all over with, I actually loved the entire album, and I actually knew what he was saying. I could actually hear him. I mean, I could hear his words.
We're going to wrap it up here shortly, but I do need to share a lovely story. You were so sweet. When we travel, I guess like many people, driver gets to pick the music. I was driving home after our last vacation, and over the past couple of days I had been driving, so we had listened to a lot of Bruce Springsteen. And we were listening off my phone, and I have multiple live concerts in my phone.
Of the same song.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna get to. You basically said something very sweet. You're like, isn't this about the fourth time we've heard this song?
Today? Not even over the trip. So yeah, it was, when he offered to change the channel, somewhere between Texarkana back to Dallas, I was very relieved.
Yeah, she was not going to change the rules. She was being a good sport. But when I said, it's almost time for... your normal nightly news shows, we could hear those on Sirius. Oh yeah, if you think that's okay. but inside she was just going so happy. Any final thoughts?
No. I have not been to the last 3 Bruce concerts that you've been with, because to me, I don't need to see him that often, but the next time that he's playing a concert, no matter where it is in the U.S., I want to go with you this time because it's been about 4 or 5 years and I kind of miss that experience.
Andrew, I want to go with you too because I like sharing with it.
All right then.
Yeah. So
it's a date.
Yeah, it's good. So thank you, LJ. I appreciate your support. I do want to be a little corny here before we get to a little Rockin' the Suburb business. You have been very supportive of me doing my podcast. You made sure that I got equipment that I needed. You are always very open, like, oh, do you have a podcast? We work around schedules. You are very sweet about saying, okay, if we cannot do a podcast this night, I've got something going on. You're giving plenty of notice. So I appreciate it. It is my hobby. It is something that brings me great joy, and I really appreciate it. And every once in a while, actually often, I will not even every once in a while, all the time you sit there and listen to me tell stories and you politely stare at me and go, in your mind, you may be saying, you know, I could care less about this, but you say, yes, honey, thank you for sharing.
That's fascinating.
All right, let's move to a little Rockin' the Suburb business. Listen to the show every day via Apple's podcast, which is iTunes, Spotify, Audio Boom, and other platforms where the best of podcasts can be found. Visit the show website, suburbspod.com. Email the show. Tell us your favorite bourbon. Tell us your favorite Bruce Springsteen song. Or tell the guys that you never want me to guest host again at rock@suburbspod.com. Follow us, the show, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at suburbspod, and call the Suburban Party line and leave a message, 612-440-1984. Once again, 612-440-1984. Operators are standing by. Thank you, Jim and Patrick, for letting me fill in this week. This was a blast. I had such a good time. I hope that I did okay, and next summer you'll let me fill in again. They will be back soon. We miss them. If you want to hear more ramblings from me, I am available on Set Lusting Bruce at iTunes, where I talk to other fans of Bruce Springsteen's music. If you love Doctor Who, I am on Next Stop Everywhere. You can find me at Jesse Jackson DFW on Twitter. You also can find me on Facebook. So for now, remember the words of Mark Twain. If I cannot drink bourbon and smoke cigars in heaven, then I shall not go. Thank you, listeners. We'll talk to you soon. Like an angel in defeat. He chases her.